Thanks for tuning in to Rio Radio. Stay tuned for episode 110 with Shelby Johnson.
You're listening to Rio Radio, the nationally trusted name in real estate investing. We dig deep to discover investors' why in real estate. If you want to skip all the BS and get in investors' heads, you're in the right spot. Be one of the thousands to check out RioRadio.com.
Little hand raise. Shelby, I've been following your content and following you on Instagram ever since I heard you on the Bigger Pockets podcast. Was that back in 2020?
Yeah.
When it was still good. And because you had the Brandon David, you know, then, and it was really nice to listen to. And I felt like we had a ton of stuff in common, but one thing we definitely don't have in common is you're an absolute adrenaline junkie from the rumors I've been hearing. Are these rumors true? And if so, what's the craziest adrenaline junkie type of activity you've done?
Well, it depends. What's that?
Besides real estate.
Besides real estate. Oh, that's a good point. well, I guess it depends on how you define adrenaline junkie. But I was in the Army for 6 years and we did, you know, I was airborne and air assault. So jumped out of airplanes and rappelled out of helicopters. But like on the civilian side by choice, I've done bungee jumping and skydiving, and I really like to go to like a foreign country and get on a horse and then, you know, go as fast as possible. So, but I was a competitive gymnast. So like I grew up kind of used to putting myself in situations where I was like fearful, but also then it's the challenge of mentally overcoming it and being calm in those situations. So I don't know if you would call that an adrenaline junkie, but it's been fun.
So did you aspire to be in the Olympics when you were little?
Dude, actually, yes, 100% the Olympics, but also Cirque du Soleil. Have you guys seen that?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I was just in town last week.
Oh, I love it.
It was my dream.
Yes. You can do it.
On my 30th birthday, a couple of the guys, we all went to Vegas. There's actually 30 of us that went to Vegas for my 30th.
Oh, my God.
And they insisted that we jumped out of a plane. And I'm like, I don't have a fear of heights. So I just don't have a reason to jump out of a perfectly good plane when there's no reason to. And these guys are pounding at the door. I'm completely hungover in my room. Like, I'm not answering the door. And they wouldn't stop. So eventually I opened it. They drugged me out of bed and put me in the van. And it's literally like this. And I think there's videos of this. And the whole time we're going up, I'm just like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? I have no desire to do this.
But you did it.
And as soon as we're out of the plane, I was like, oh, this is fine. Yeah. But the whole like flight up was not fun. And
dude, they're
like,
the buildup is, yeah. The
weather is not good. We can't go as high as we really wanted to. And I'm like, the weather's not good. What about you guys? You guys done any type of adrenaline type activities?
Yeah, I went skydiving at 18.
Oh, there
yeah,
you go.
My uncle was an avid skydiver. And so for my graduation gift, he paid for me to go tandem jumping.
Yeah
it was awesome.
I am definitely not an adrenaline junkie because I am definitely afraid of heights.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Anything like that is not gonna work for me at all. But I wanted to ask you something, Shelby. You see there are these people that go on like they hike up to volcano summits and then they do some kind of a sled down the side of it. Is that something that you think you would do?
No, I don't think that's my jam. I do like the idea of like helo skiing, though. I think that's what it's called, where they like put you in a helicopter and they take you up to the top of a mountain and then you ski down. Mm. So almost the same. I would like to be on skis, though.
So do you jump out of the helicopter with skis on or do they just take you up there and then you...
Yeah, from what I've seen, and I have not researched this thoroughly. I'm not an expert, but they just like drop you off and then you ski down.
Oh,
so I do
a lot
love skiing.
Faster than a lift. Yeah.
So when you were on BP, you were obviously growing your business. Your real estate business is taking off. You had, at that time, you had like 50 some properties under your portfolio. But how did that podcast change your career? Because I feel like that probably was like a pivot point for you, where it kind of next leveled you. Because at that point, I'm seeing you at the Bigger Pockets conference. I think it was New Orleans at the time. So like, how did that change your life?
Yeah. Oh my God. That podcast is super powerful.
It was super powerful to listen to.
Yeah. Oh, well, thanks, guys. I meant like the aftermath. It's crazy. No,
I get it.
Yeah. Okay. So how it impacted? Well, it did a couple things. So on the agent side of the house, I had a ton of agents reaching out to me to, you know, interest in Five Pillars Realty Group. That's the time what it was called. And at the time we were like hyper local, you know, we were only in North Carolina. It was a traditional team. So I had all these people from all over reaching out and not much to do with them, which was unfortunate because now, you know, that I have changed the model and we're at EXP, so we can take people from all over the country. I'm like, man, I should have, if only the timing had been different, I would have had a place for all of these people nationwide. So that was like kind of the agent side of the house. It felt like there was a lot of influx and not that much to do with it. But on the investor side of the house, it was cool for a couple reasons because it brought in a lot of investors who wanted to work with the agents, but not so cool in the fact that it really blew up Fayetteville, North Carolina, which Fayetteville was already on the map from, you know, Alex Felice was talking about it all over Bigger Pockets. There were several people who were investing. Matt Faircloth was investing in Fayetteville, North Carolina. But I feel like that, you know, after my podcast came out, it just was the tip of the iceberg. And like, for instance, I talked about the burn B strategy on the Bigger Pockets podcast and how I was doing the burrs and then I was doing it into short term instead of long term. And it was like amazing because when I started short term rentals in Fayetteville, there was less than 100 in the entire area.
Wow.
And then this past year, actually, I just finished shutting down all of them. I was up to 18 at one point, shut them all down. Cause there was over 800 the last time I checked before I was like, I'm done. In Fayetteville, like it's not like a freaking, you know, vacation town. So
right. I was going to say, how big is Fayetteville?
That's a good question that I definitely should know. I don't know. It's not that big.
But it's not like a big resort town.
So. No, not at all. It's like the armpit of North Carolina.
That's like the Council Bluffs, but it's in Iowa. Yeah. I do the exact method. I buy condemned homes, do the burn method, and then I put them into short term. But I've actually completely pulled out of short term and gone more into midterm lately. Have you moved your short terms into midterm or going long term with those?
Yeah, so I did that originally before I made the final call to shut them down. Yeah, it went from short term and then we put them on furnished finders and tried a bunch of like strategies of partnering with insurance companies to get people in, you know, whose house burned down and stuff like that. And just ultimately, it was not worth the amount of effort that it took. I mean, I had a property manager, but there was still so many things that just required a lot more energy. And the income had come down. With the saturation, the demand came down. And just overall, I was looking at the long-term rental numbers and I was like, this just doesn't make sense. And so I literally just shut them all down and
just sold them.
I sold some, but I kept most as long-terms.
Okay.
Yeah. So what do you do with all that furniture?
Oh my God. We had like fire sales, like flash, Facebook. So Fayetteville, North Carolina, if you guys don't know, is a military town. There's Fort Bragg. It's got a new name. I think it's called Fort Liberty now. But it's like the center of the universe in regard to the army. And there's this thing called dependas, which is not like a proper term. It's like basically the soldiers marry people and then they're like dependents. And this is, I'm going to get hate for this for sure. But basically a lot of them just like hang out on Facebook, like Marketplace, and just like, you know, let's see what I can buy online today. So, you know, we did all of the shutdowns through Facebook Marketplace and just had all of these people come out of the woodwork. Like it was a wild couple days.
We have the SAC Air Force Base here, so we get a little bit of that. We feel it's a big Air Force town here.
Mm-hmm. But, so you know the dependas?
I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Yes.
I tell you what though, one of the reasons I've had success with my Airbnbs is because I've been able to buy so much furniture from people that have shut down their Airbnbs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I mean, just recently I had somebody that I sold their duplex that they had. And it was completely stocked. And he's like, you get everything out of there for me and you can have it for $500.
That's sick.
So in the bottom of this apartment building we're in right now, it is completely jam packed full of furniture right now.
Just waiting for your next one.
Yeah. So
you're going to have a fire sale if you're.
Well, so I have a duplex right now and a big 4-bedroom house that's under construction right now. Both will be done in about 2 weeks.
Oh, nice.
So we'll be pulling everything out. get this story though. My my contractor showed up here because I bought out some company's windows, so I have these huge bay windows down there, and like, hey, we're gonna put these windows out. So I get a phone call from the contractor. He's like, yeah, we're gonna fix all the drywall damage we did down your basement. I go, what are you talking about? He's like, to get those windows out, we had to cut the walls out. And he go, what? And I go, why would you do that? And he goes, oh, because we figured you built the in, you had those in there so long that you built all that drywall up. I'm like, didn't you just open up the back bay doors, the storm doors, and then take it right out the back?
Oh,
he's
no.
like, I didn't even know that existed.
Oh, no.
And I'm talking about like big yeah. bay windows. And I'm I don't even want to go down there and look yet.
Oh my God.
But there is a market though. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking about getting into midterms or short terms, which I think here in our town, we have so much. I think there's 80,000 electricians working on the 6 data centers that are being built here in the Omaha area right now, that you can.
Yeah,
just,
a lot of tradesmen.
Yeah, the midterm world is kind of nuts right here right now. So I think every unit I have is full with construction workers.
That's awesome.
If you ever gone down now, I always say that when you put the construction workers in, they're gone almost every weekend going back home to their wives. Mm-hmm. Average age is probably between 50 and 60, but they never take off their boots. So every one of your throw rugs are going to be completely destroyed. they don't call about petty stuff, which is nice to not have those like, oh, you know, my this and this work. I was just talking to one of them. I'm like, hey, is everything going good? Well, that Keurig's never worked, but that's kind of fancy for me. I'm like, I got like 3 of them in the basement. Let me just grab you one real quick.
It's too fancy.
So now that you transitioned, that takes a lot of stress off, and you can put probably more focus on the real estate company, I'm assuming, because that's what you're trying to focus on and grow right now.
Yes. What I'm doing, the reason why I said it like that is like, absolutely, Five Pillars Nation is my baby, and I love putting all of my energy into it and growing that. But I'm also, so my husband is like really interested in marketing. And since you guys, you know, are part of the agent world as well, you've probably experienced the fact that most agents don't understand marketing in regards to building a business. And so, you know, they're like, oh, well, I just, you know, posted on social media once and I called the people on my phone. Leads are just supposed to come. Whereas like every other business, even if you flip over within real estate and talk about like wholesaling businesses, they have like these huge marketing budgets and like take that strategy piece of it so seriously. And so because my husband was a wholesaler and he was also an agent and has found this like, you know, opportunity. And we're really excited about figuring out what we want to do in regard to marketing for real estate agents and building a business around that. And then also being able to provide it as an option to the people within our real estate company. So that's the only reason why I was like,
you want to find it for yourselves, like how to market, or you're wanting to create a
like an agency
system.
Yeah,
for them.
It would be like a marketing agency for real estate agents. Yeah. And this is the new stages, guys. Like, you're hearing it first. Yeah. So
breaking news.
But I'm stoked. I really am.
Now, what in regards to the agents you have, do you guys really focus more on the investment agents, or are you bringing on all types of agents at this point?
So we are bringing on all types of agents, but our niche is definitely the investor-minded agent. So, and why I say it like that is because in the beginning, when we first started Five Pillars, it was very much like the investor agent. We work with investors, and that can be a great model, but also, you know, how many percent of agents or investors, they say they want to invest. They don't do anything. They also want like bottom of the barrel prices. Just working with them, it doesn't always make sense in regard to time and the income received in exchange for that time. And so when I say agents who are investor minded, it's because what we're focusing on now is the agents who want to focus and build like machines of businesses within the agent side of the house. And then once they have that pumping, then they can turn around and personally invest.
Nice.
I think I have 18 agents on my team right now.
Do you have a traditional team, or like what is the setup?
So it's a small brokerage. It's called Dream Investing Capital or Dream Investing Group. I'm sorry. And with Dream Investing Group, we like to bring on agents that have want to be real estate investors or currently are real estate investors. I think almost every agent that we have on our team currently, I've met through our local REIA group. So we have a great community there. And I think right now, between all the agents involved, our group represents probably about close to 500 units. And so one thing I try to focus on, which I don't think I do to do it as good as it probably should happen, is, but every meeting we have a section where we talk about how we work with our investor clients, investor questions that we have, what's happening in our own investment portfolio, and then we obviously talk about off-market opportunities, because that, you know, that's our business that we're in. But what focus have you guys put on your meetings, and how do you lift the agents up to make them invest in their future through real estate?
Yeah. So the primary focus of our meetings are on business development, because it's our focus is building a machine. And so that's like a lot of marketing strategy, your sales process, your delivery process, and the finances, the vision, business plan. So that's like the core of what we repeatedly teach. And then once a month, we have our investor mastermind where we bring in people to talk about like a specific subject. Like this past month was the Shred Method. Have you guys heard of the Shred Method?
No. What is that?
It's basically like velocity banking. Have you heard of velocity banking?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, and there's, it's, yes. what?
What is velocity banking?
Okay.
You have so many questions.
For those that
oh my God.
Let's just go to Shred. Stay to Shred.
Yeah,
Shred,
like everything.
Similar, so.
Okay. And again, dude, this is going to be my theme of the day. It's like, I'm not the expert in, that's actually my thing in life. Like, I'm generally not the expert. I'm like I'm the coordinator. I bring in the experts and I bring the people together, yeah. Corral them.
Yeah, I love that.
So Adam Carroll is the guy who founded the Shred Method. And this past investor mastermind, we just had it on Monday of this week, was one of our agents who Adam Carroll came in and taught our group about the Shred Method. And everyone's like hyper skeptical, which I promise I'm going to explain what it is. And then eventually... A couple of my agents tried it and it completely worked. So they like paid off their entire mortgages within 4 months. And okay, I'm going to bring it all back now. So the Shred Method is a way to use lines of credit to pay down your debt quickly. And the way you do it, it's the differences between like, you know, in a mortgage, hypothetically, the first roughly half of the life of the loan is so much of it goes to interest, right? Like a massive amount of interest. And so the Shred Method, you get lines of credit, which they can be, you know, up to like 13% interest only and still work. And you use the line of credit as essentially your checking account. I hope I don't butcher this, but what you do is you take the line of credit and you use it to pay down your principal on your loans, and your line of credit is where like every bit of income comes in and then all of your expenses are paid out of it. So in theory, you have nothing in your checking account and your line of credit is essentially used as your checking account, and you can take mass amount like mortgages or car debt, and you can pay it down incredibly quickly using this method.
Do you know if you max it out every month? Like, do you draw your entire line and pay it toward, or do you have like a budget with it?
Yeah. So it's very calculated. There's, you can either do the calculations yourself, or I think it's like $45 a month or something to actually go through Adam Carroll's like program, which by the way, I don't get anything for this. Right. I should have like an affiliate.
Not yet.
And what he does is like you link all of your bank accounts to it and it will calculate out for you depending on how much discretionary income you have. Because none of this will work, by the way, if you don't have at least they say like a minimum of $500 a month of discretionary income.
Yeah, if you're living paycheck to paycheck.
It's not gonna work. But if you even just have a little bit and you're able to get a line of credit, the calculations within the shredmethod.com or whatever will tell you how much to pay. And they just literally tell you what to do. And Allie Garced, you should find her, Allie the agent on Instagram. She paid off a mortgage that was like $175,000 in 4 months. And she was the one who was telling about it. The reason why this is important, because you to bring it all the way back to about like the agents, is right now is like really hard time to invest in a lot of markets for a lot of reasons. We all know that, right? And yet a bunch of my agents have either primary residence that they've acquired over the years and like house hacked and move on to the next, or they have a bunch of rentals that they acquired and they're like, I want more, but the numbers aren't making sense for me. And so that's when we bring in different strategies like the shred method and say, hey, you know, right now you want to do something with your money and you're not finding anything better. This is an option if you want the lifestyle of, you know, no mortgage payments, which that's a whole debate in itself. Is it worth it? Blah, blah, blah. But like, there you go.
Yeah. With Velocity, I always wondered like how, if you're, I never, like, it just clicked with me just now when you were talking about it, that the amortization schedule. So with like a line of credit, you don't have that. It's just like simple interest typically.
Yes, exactly.
So, but with a mortgage, it's amortized. So you have like you said, it's like 98% of your payment is interest.
Totally.
Whereas with a line of credit, it's just your interest. So you can't compare if you're paying a 3.5% mortgage and it's an 8% line of credit, it's still a better deal to do the Velocity or shred.
My girl.
Like, I never understood, like, yeah, thank you. Like, that just clicked with me, and I haven't like bitten the bullet to do it because I never quite understood how revolving a credit line, and yeah, it just made sense. So
yeah. Well, I'm glad it did to you, because coming out of my mouth, I was like, I have no fucking idea if this is like even.
Yeah, no. The whole amortization, like, duh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's paying off, you know, more of the principal instead of just your interest. So,
yeah, who's gonna be the first one here at the table to do it?
Oh, probably me. Yeah.
Dude, I have
you know, like, I'm a doer.
I have the OG training video, and I have this like, you know, the corresponding PDF explaining all of it that I will 100% send you after this.
Oh, that's cool.
Awesome. Thank you.
Do you guys link that stuff in the show notes?
Denlis does.
Denlis.
Once I get the link, yes.
Awesome.
I would. Wonderful.
Thank you. I'll send it after.
It'll be there, won't it?
Yeah.
It will be.
Cool. That's awesome.
So are you going to use this currently on your portfolio?
Yes. It's on the list. I haven't done it yet.
So how long is it going to take you to implement it? Are you a person that's a doer now, or is this going to take you?
I am very much a doer now for the items that are super high on my priority list. And there, it's just, you know, you guys know how it is. It's like every day you learn something new, and there are so many different ways to be successful, but really it ultimately is like having your list, prioritizing it, planning it out on the calendar so that way you execute. And then when the time is right, then it's time to do the next thing. So yes, I am a doer. It's not in my next 30-day target.
So along that lines, do you have like a personal assistant or administrative assistant that helps you manage all of the stuff that comes your way? Because I feel like in real estate, and especially as an agent, I'm sure you guys, I'm technically an agent, but I just kind of do it for myself. So I'm sure like it's like shiny object syndrome, and then there's like all these responsibilities. So who do you use, or like what systems or what apps to help you manage all of that? Because, you know, you do have to prioritize, but there's all these things like this is really important, right? Like you're literally saving money if you do this shred method. So it's like, okay, that's important, but it's not urgent.
Yeah.
Right. So there's the whole, is it urgent? Is it not urgent? Is it important? Is it not important? And that whole matrix. So how can you kind of do it all? Because like that's the kind of person I'm like, how can I do it all? You know, so what do you use to do that?
Yeah. So I do. And you're speaking my language. Like, I love this stuff so much, like systems and organization and calendar and time blocking and all of the ways to plan out the next year, like love. Okay. So I do have a virtual assistant, and she is in my inbox a little bit, but ultimately, like, I am the planner, the organizer. I'm in control of that piece. And so what I use for my like lists is Notion. Have you guys heard of Notion?
I don't think I've seen Notion.
Okay. It's like a second brain. I think that's actually possibly their marketing, your second brain. And so I love it because, I like to categorize everything, you know, so there's like different categories of what you're working on. And if you do like a normal list, like hypothetically, you just take a Google Doc and you like make a list. There's so many sub ideas within each category that you don't have the length to expand on. And so like within Notion, I have my categories, and you can expand on them to an unlimited extent. And I'm not sure if this is making sense, but basically I've set it up like kind of like a book. And then there's chapters within the book. Those are like each one of my categories. And you can just go over, you can see the condensed version, or you can go over to the correct chapter. And when you're in that, it's like expands into its own whole project management tracking system of its own. Does that make sense?
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. I use Trello, which is pretty simple. It's just like a board, you know, and you move stuff.
I like Trello.
And take notes. Is it similar to that, or is it not really?
Not really. So, well, depending on how you use it, there's like a bunch of different ways that you can use all of these different, you know, apps and stuff. But with Trello, I use it more for like lists and checklists. And that's, my VA lives in there too, because it's really nice because you can share it. You can see them move down the checklist and they can duplicate it and you can watch progress occur. But yeah, Notion is more of like where I keep my lists in like my planning space. And then I use my calendar to take those items and put them out into time and block accordingly for them. And when the time comes up, then I go to my list into my respective chapter and I have like all of my notes. Because when you think of stuff, you know, one of the main problems people have is they have an idea, but they don't have any place to capture it.
Yeah.
Right. So when you have an idea, for me, there's a place, always the place to capture it, that I can just drop it within the respective chapter. And then when the date comes up on the calendar, when it's time to do that activity, I can just go to that chapter and all of my notes and thoughts and things that have happened over the past whatever amount of time are right there for me to reference.
I think that's the key, is setting the time to actually revisit it.
Yeah.
Right. I think we all like, I can take notes and I can like put things in my, my board or whatever. But then if I never go back and look at it, then nothing's ever going to happen. So it sounds like you do that right away. You just like put it in your calendar to say, I'm going to revisit this.
Well, I have for the things that really matter are like reoccurring time blocks in my calendar. And for new things, then I will put it on like my brain dump part of Notion. And when it comes to the time to go through that, then I will organize and put it into the calendar.
Cool.
She pretty much has a book already written in her notes.
Oh, yes.
I mean, you could probably go through your notes and probably have multiple books.
Oh, my notes?
Yeah.
How to
copy and paste everything, put it in ChatGPT, have it write you a book. Like, this is how to run an investment real estate team. This is how to do a podcast. This is how to get 50 rentals in 2 years. Da, da, da.
So you have a VA. Who else do you use to help with everything you have in your life?
Well, I have a social media manager who's more of a partner. So in my mind, there's like the minions and the brains, and that's probably not the appropriate way to say it. It's like the doers and the thinkers. You know, when you're hiring someone, are you hiring someone to just do the list that you've already created, or are you hiring someone to think critically and come up with their own ideas and, you know, that sort of thing? So my social media manager is a thinker. He's awesome. And otherwise, so like in the real estate team, it's not a traditional team. So I'm not even in production anymore. The agents are. And so running that, it's very systematized. I have my VA, I have the social media, and otherwise that's all I have for like the real estate team stuff. And on the investment side of the house, I have my long-term rental property management company. And well, it's not my company, it's a third party.
Yeah.
And
strategic.
I have a CPA and a bookkeeper and my VA.
So with your real estate team, You're not running the day to day with that at all. You've actually hired somebody out to do that.
Well, it's different. So there's the traditional team, which is, and that's why I'm curious actually how yours runs. But this is how ours used to run. It's like I had incredible oversight over every piece of the business that was happening. I had a full staff of transaction coordinators, listing coordinators, like an admin assistant for all of them. We had interns. Marketing, social, like we had a ton of like manpower in addition to all of the agents who were out there slinging deals. And in exchange for that, the team got 50% of anything that they closed to pay for the overhead. And when we switched the model, the overhead went away. Because what I did is I went to all of the listing coordinators, transaction coordinators, and was like, hey, I don't want to do this model anymore, but you guys are amazing at your jobs. I'll help you start up your own third-party businesses, and the agents can just pay you direct for any services that they want. And so that's what they did. And now all of the agents are ultimately responsible for their own, you know, successes and failures, which is what I wanted. I wanted to put the responsibility back on their shoulders.
I think that's really cool because, you know, for me, I am a doer. So it's weird to me that like when I get a listing, someone else is posting it for me and someone like, and I appreciate it, but I'm paying for it and I'd rather not. Like so I like that concept of like, if I want to list it myself or have my VA do it for me, like versus hiring, you know, or paying out of my commission somebody that I didn't have the choice to do that. That's kind of cool. I don't know. I like it.
So cool. I mean, both models, I mean, it works for different people. So
yeah. Well, yeah, you're going to attract the people that want what you offer.
Right? I want to attract the people who want to build their own empires. That's my thing. So like originally when we had the old model with 50-50 splits, in the beginning, it's like that, you know, startup mentality, everyone's in it, like really, you know, hustle, grind. And then the bigger you grow, the further you get away from that like startup vibe. And the people you start to attract are the ones who are attracted based on what they've seen online or what they think that you can give them as opposed to what they can bring to the organization. Mm-hmm. And this is, I'm generalizing because so much depends on so many different factors. But what I found is that the bigger we grew, the less I liked the new people who were attracted to us. And we didn't have to let them in. That was a choice and definitely a lesson learned. But what I found is the people who I wanted to share my time with were the people who wanted to create their own destinies. And so when we made the change, it was much more into creating an environment where the entrepreneurs could come and be the king of their own castle.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
I just like having the kind of, it's kind of like a small group I get to meet with every week that is real estate investors, and you know, and we all work together in the same team, but we're discussing what's going on in our portfolios, which I enjoy. We have our team format. We have maybe three people out of the 18 that really focus on traditional real estate, but all but maybe two or three are really there just to build their own portfolios. So mm-hmm. a lot of the transactions are the ones that they're personally doing. And then splits wise, we're offering, I think we have the best splits in the state, to be honest with you. We're doing 90-10 splits with no cap. And then we do like a 595 broker admin fee, which covers the transaction coordinating team that we hire out. You don't get a ton of traditional. I mean, I think this month we were talking about a little earlier, we should probably hit between 5.5 and 6 million in sales. So, you know,
but a lot of that's internal. Like a lot of that's just personal. People are buying their own investments.
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah.
That's
December is generally our best year of the year because I have a client list of over 300 investors from around the country that we service. And so ideally, a lot of people are trying to get properties in December to try to offset some taxes.
Yeah.
So, you know, where everybody else, a traditional real estate group, they don't do very good in December and everybody takes the whole entire December, January off. I always tell everybody, be prepared because this is where we're going to do the most business. And it's generally right because I think we average in that 3 million in a month. But like I said, we're over 5.5 and we should be hitting quite a bit more.
Wow.
Like I was just telling you, I have a client right now and he's spent at least $10 million of his money by the end of the year so he can avoid $1 million in taxes right now. So
yeah. That's a big problem.
I am going nonstop right now. The biggest struggle is just trying to keep them entertained. I wrote a note on here about bringing in a speaker specifically to talk to the group. Right now, you know, I think I lose track about that. And you have your own meetup group, so you might feel this too, but we have a paid membership based group and here in town with our local RIA. So anybody joins our team, we give them a free membership and we push them to come. So I always kind of look at that as like that right there. I'm thinking, okay, I'm providing that speaker content that I need, but really I should be bringing somebody into the team meetings to break it down a little bit more for them.
So I like bringing people in for the team stuff just because it takes the pressure, like I said before, it's like, I don't want to be the subject matter expert, you know, all the time for sure. So it's really nice to bring in other people as leverage for you. And then your VA can do it. Your schedule.
Now, are you the team broker?
No. See, dude, that's a responsibility off the shoulder. Yeah. The EXP, they're all over the place. And so each, depending on their location, they have their own location specific broker. So,
because like you guys, we were Keller Williams before, and we left earlier this year to become do the independent model. And cool. That's been okay. But as far as the broker side of it, holy moly, I had no idea about the time and the stress that it's put on me.
Totally.
I'm going through somebody that's going to real estate court. Let's just put it that way. Mm-hmm. I just this week I had two dramas I had to figure out, and then people fighting earnest deposits, and it's now consuming two solid days of my every week just dealing with
agents,
broker issues.
Oh my God, dude, I feel that so hard. Like we were Five Pillars was a firm for like a day, and I was like, this between like the team and then like the broker firm responsibilities, I was like, not for me. But yeah,
if I could find somebody that like actually cared and had passion that would want to be the broker and I could just be an agent on it, I would do it in a heartbeat. Because I just had no idea the time. Like I now put 80% of my time into that business, and the other five small businesses I'm running are splitting the 20% between the other ones.
So when you guys switched your models, what did you start putting more of your time into?
Oh my gosh. Well, in the beginning it was just, I spent a lot of time reflecting on what I liked and what I didn't like, because I was at the point in my life where I wanted to build the life I wanted and not the ones that everyone else wanted me to do. And so the new model, the thing that I like, I don't like working with new agents because they time and time again, it's so much work, and you know, 90% aren't going to do a damn thing with it. They're just going to quit in a couple months, which is totally fine. Real estate's not for everyone, but I realized that was like incredibly draining. And so with our new model, through the brokerage, new agents are assigned a mentor, a local mentor, to handhold them through the first three transactions. So like one of my conversations is like, I don't babysit. I'm not going to hop on there and, you know, teach you where to click in the MLS. But when you're ready to build a marketing strategy within your business, I'm here for it. So like removed that piece. And I'm trying to think, I didn't like the broker responsibility. So like removed that piece. I didn't like the ownership for other people's happiness, removed that piece. And then it was like, what do I like doing? Well, I love to talk to killers. I love to go back and forth with ideas. I love to learn new things and then share learning those new things. And so that's kind of how I built this current model. I think the question was, what do I do with my time? Was that the question?
Yeah. Well, what did you fill that new time with? Because I know you're not going to just sit around. So,
yeah. So what I have recently filled, because the reflection period, it was like a year and a half of like testing, figuring it out, listening to myself, you know, testing more. And what I'm doing now, I really do enjoy both of the podcasts that I'm hosting. It's really cool to be able to have high level conversations with people all over the country who are doing and running their businesses in completely different ways. And I like it too, because it's nice little snippets of, you know, conversations, but then you can, you know, our podcasts are like 45 minutes. So doing that, I'm really interested in marketing, and that includes the marketing for the agents, but also like social media and building a personal brand. Very much into like Alex Hormozi and like Taylor Swift, and watching them be so strategic and then it come off like this natural thing and everyone gets swept away with, you know, I just think that's like the most fascinating thing ever. So I'm learning a lot about that piece of the business. And what else am I doing? I'm coaching a lot. I have, you know, every single week we have our group coaching and we have our training and scripts and all of the fun things. So that's what I'm doing with my time.
When you say group coaching, what group?
Five Pillars. Five Pillars Nation.
You're still your agents.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
So you're not, are you doing coaching outside of that?
I'm not. We did very recently. So before it was like, you can't get in Five Pillars unless you are a part of EXP. And we very recently, which I haven't even announced, like, you guys are getting so much like first knowledge. Oh my God. We're starting to take people outside of EXP on case by case basis, like application and interview only, to really protect the culture. But yeah, that's exciting for me too, because we've already had our first like group of people who were like, I'm never go to EXP, because EXP is not for everyone. You know what I mean? And they're like, I'm never leaving my brokerage, but you guys are just exactly who I want to spend my time around. And it's really cool to bring in talent and grow that organization.
So they want your help, but they don't want to be part of EXP.
Yeah. Which is fine with me. Yeah.
That's, yeah. I mean, that's cool that you're willing to provide that.
Yeah.
You mentioned the two podcasts you're on. You want to shout out two podcasts that you do and what they're about?
So the Agent Goldmine is the podcast that myself and Ali Garced started in May of this year, 2023. I don't know when this is going to come out. And that is like a very nitty gritty tactical dive into real estate from an agent perspective. Because what we noticed is that there's a lot of podcasts that are like wave tops, you know, good ideas. But then by the end of the podcast, you're like, wait, I don't know how to do it though. How do I do it? Yeah. So the Agent Goldmine is like very into the weeds of like how to specifically do whatever we're talking about. And then I also am hosting the Real Estate Rockstars podcast, which is Aaron Amuchastegui's show. He owns it. And I took over hosting, you know, earlier this year. And that has been so fun too. Just, it's another agent podcast. It's a little more traditional where it's like, you know, your story and talking about whatever they're doing. But either one, fantastic. Check both out. Shameless plug.
Absolutely.
How are you handling all this? Because I get super stressed out. Like I plan out my whole entire Friday for podcasting pretty much.
Yeah.
And then I got a couple days of doing real estate. And then I have, you know, couple flips going. I'm trying to manage all of this going on
so much, but,
and I'm stressing out. So I, you know, and then you still, you know, for me, I still have the wife and the kids. How are you balancing all this work life, family life? Like now that you're newly married, that, yes, you know, that takes time. You know, this is the time that you guys are. This is when it's the funnest. Is that first year, yeah, right?
Especially before you have kids.
Yeah, and and this is when you're traveling or you're experiencing each other. You know, so how are you balancing all that?
How am I balancing all of it? Well, I took out that's less is more was my entire 2023 motto. So I like took out all of the wholesales and the flips and the working with clients. And I took out a lot of the stuff we've already talked about that I'm not going to go into that. I took out all the short-term rentals and now they're all long-term. So like a lot of the pieces in my business that took up a lot of time and energy are gone or replaced with something that is more predictable. Also, the events that I used to personally run, now every city has its own host. So I'm not personally hosting any of the events for Pints and Properties nationwide, which is great. So again, I've cut out a lot, but I also like, I'm super systems oriented and efficient is self-proclaimed efficient, but I think that I am. And so like between scheduling, me and my virtual assistant work very closely, but like that stuff is like a machine behind the scenes, all of the scheduling, you know, the automations through Calendly and the reminders and, you know, prepping the research behind all of the shows. And then my email, like email, I feel like is a black hole for a lot of people, but I use this thing called Superhuman. Have you heard of Superhuman?
I haven't.
Mm-mm. Oh my God.
She's got so many little things that I know, she uses. These
little tools. This is what everyone needs in life.
Superhuman is like the way. Again, I should get affiliate codes for all of these.
Wait, don't you?
Yeah,
you know, I know. Really, affiliate codes is Sarah Weaver. That girl's got an affiliate code for everything that she does.
Everything. Yeah. Okay, so Superhuman though is it's a email application. So do you guys use Gmail or Outlook? Probably.
Yeah,
Gmail. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So what you do is you keep whatever email application is, but then you log in through Superhuman, and so you don't go to your Gmail app anymore. You just go to Superhuman, and Superhuman is like code based. Okay, code probably not the right word. So shortcut based. So normally going through your emails, you have to like click and maybe you have templates that you're like copying and pasting and you're changing out the names for. Well, Superhuman has everything that you need to do is a click of a key. So like to, you know, mark as done, to set a reminder to check in 3 days, to do your templates. It's literally, they're called snippets, and you have all of your templates pre-formulated in there, and you literally just like in two clicks, I'll give a demo if you love to.
Yeah. And you're cutting out like 5 seconds on each thing that you're doing. So then it ends up saving you an hour.
Oh my God, totally. And it's really cool because you can send emails, and then as soon as you hit send, you just hit the H key to remind yourself to check in if you don't hear back in 3 days and 12 hours and whatever the case may be. So you never have to remember to check in. It's just all built into this like super efficient program.
I think I send myself more emails than other people do. So I'm like, remember to do this or remember to do this. And then, I won't mark it as read until task is completed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, you go to my email, it's like flag, unread. And so it's kind of a nightmare when it comes to that.
Yeah. Maybe most people hate email
for you. And
one thing that you mentioned was that your meetup, the Pints, is nationwide. I had no idea about this.
Yeah. It's in 11 states and 25 cities now, which is pretty cool. Yeah. So how did it happen? It happened because originally at our Fayetteville event, Alex Felice is a photographer. Do you guys know him?
Yeah, we know Alex well.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so he would come to our events and take pictures. And of course, we'd like put them all over the internet. And then that's what people think, that events are really cool if they look cool on the internet, right? And so we had people from different events, cities being like, hey, like that event looks awesome. Can we start one in our city? And of course, our entire process was already in a checklist, and we had all the emails, you know, templated. So I had them in a Google Drive anyway. And I was like, absolutely, sure. Here you go. Here's like the steps on how to do it. And here's like, literally it's all built out. Just follow day 1 through 30 and execute. And then they've been popping up all over, and it's really fun. But it's free. I have not monetized at all.
That's my next question. Be monetized.
I haven't.
Girl.
Yeah.
Your affiliate codes and your meetups. What are you doing?
I know. I should care more.
And now, have you monetized your local group?
No, it's all like very indirect. So like every host, most of them are agents. They don't have to be, but most of them are agents. And you're like, yo, you can build an entire business off of this meetup. Like there's this guy, Vince Crane, in Atlanta from his meetup. You know, he makes $300,000 a year as an agent. That's his only lead source. So it's monetized indirectly. We've also had a bunch of agents, like agent attraction to Five Pillars Nation through the meetup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just a different goal.
And referrals and all the things. Well, we may monetize down the road, but you know, we'll see.
I think at least the hosts, like maybe not attendees, but like starting new chapters, so to speak.
We were thinking too, like base sponsors, you know, like instead of charging the hosts or the attendees, it's like, hey, you know, we have these lists, we have data. Would you like to pay for, you know, you to sponsor the event? You know, that's that type of thing.
We can talk to Ted about that. That's his.
Tell me everything.
So, it's not easy, right? I don't know.
Well, it's one of my favorite things I do, to be honest with you.
Oh, really?
Okay. Oh my God, please.
So we don't know this. So locally, we have about 450 paid members. And we've been up this year. I don't think we will be, but previous 2 years, we've been the fastest growing RIA in the country year over year.
Congrats.
Not the biggest, but just the fastest growing. And we are, I believe we're the lowest cost membership to join the RIA. And so we're $100 a year. So that's not going to pay the bills. But we have probably about 24, 25 local and national sponsors that also every sponsor has, unless they can't legally, has to provide a discount to our members. So that way there's a benefit to doing it. Now,
that's smart.
If you get a sponsor on, they want to know your members and your member count. So it's really, really important to have some sort of paid membership so you can say, hey, these are our paid members that show the value to them.
Yeah, like they're not going to disappear the second they sponsor.
Exactly.
Because they're paid.
Yeah. So now I've had some challenges. This group has gone really well. But in the end, when it comes to this, your video ended. So radio edit, are we good?
Yeah.
Can you hear us, Shelby?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah,
I muted myself to take notes.
Okay, cool. The screen went blank, so I was just making sure.
Oh, shit.
No,
I can't see your beautiful face.
You can't? I can see me.
There we go. That's all matters. Okay. So anyway, I'll get back to it. Yeah. So it's really important to get the paid members, because then you have all the contact information. You have newsletters going out to them on a weekly. So there's a value add. I can send you my sales packet if you ever want to see how we
break it. You know, I want it.
Yeah. So we'll do a trade there. And but the membership or the sponsorships are the biggest reason for the members, and the members are the biggest reason for the sponsors. So there's this really like careful balance you got to have to not overcharge your sponsors, but also be able to provide for your members, because you want to have the biggest count you can get. And then when you bring in, especially when you bring in national speakers, you want to be able to say that you have, you can fill the room. So we had Sarah Weaver speaking at our group. Was that this week?
Yeah, Tuesday.
Yeah. So Sarah was speaking at our group this week. And, you know, I think we had about 140 something people there for that event. So, you know, that she walked into a completely full room, and she, you know, that was a big deal for her. And, you know, she's able to get leads and contacts and coaching out of it. So it's like give back. Now, my biggest struggle that I'm having right now is I started this year RiaNebraska.com, and that was supposed to, and I, there was already a couple chapters already going, but the focus was I would had 8 partner cities, and I wouldn't own those cities. I just helped get a handful of them up and running and put the right people in place. And I put a VA staff in place, graphic designers in place. I got with my lawyers, rewrote all the contracts, did all the paperwork to properly have their own meetups. So, we spent tens of thousands of dollars on this, but you'll find that not everybody's like you and wants to have a successful real estate meetup. They have other priorities and they don't see the value in it.
So Shelby, have you only like helped people who've actually reached out to you for the Pints and Properties? So like, yes. You're not trying to grow it. They're trying to grow it.
Correct.
You think maybe that's the secret sauce to it, is like, it is driven people.
So those people did reach out to me though. That was the difference. Mm. But I joined National RIA. So I pay a fee and I have rights to the state of Nebraska. So going outside of the state isn't necessarily an option. Mm-hmm. With this concept anyway.
Yeah.
If I went independent, that'd be a different thing. But being part of National, I get a badass website through them that's fully interactive with a back end admin, with tracking systems and text blasting systems and newsletter systems. I mean, they provide everything you need. Plus there's over 20, I think maybe it was 20 big name national sponsors. And so when you're getting going, to be able to say that I have 20 national sponsors that are going to provide you discounts, like List Source and Office Depot and Home Depot that provide these big discounts, that's a big membership draw. And but anyway, so I went to these different cities, trying to get them going, and it's like pulling teeth. I'm like, hey, here's our graphic design layouts. So you have new layouts every month. Do you think that one person uses them out of the 8 cities? And then I was like, oh, here's how you get membership. So I'm like, hey, I will provide you everything for free for 6 months, but you have 6 months to get a membership based system going. And in the meantime, anybody joins, we'll put them underneath my Omaha membership and then provide the benefits to your members until your city's up and going. But everybody's like, no, nobody's going to come if I charge. Well, yeah, they will, because it gives them buy-in to you.
So do you go to your own meetups even though you're not hosting them anymore? Do you ever just pop in?
I used to be a lot more active. We recently moved to Kentucky, which is kind of further away than all.
Big move.
Yeah. We have a lot of family here. And so I used to go to all of the Charlotte ones when I lived in Charlotte. I used to go to all the Fayetteville ones when I lived in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And I used to go on, tour sounds like silly, but like, you'd bounce around and speak at the different events. And definitely some run them way tighter ships than other. And I totally agree with you that it's like, you can provide them the world and not everyone is going to take that baton and run with it. Disappointingly,
it's frustrating.
It's kind of like what you were saying earlier about agents and how like the new ones, like you want to, if you hold their hand and give them the world and show them how to do it, like not everyone's going to do it. So yeah,
totally.
It's similar to, it sounds like it's similar.
Well,
like,
I'm at the point right now that I've dumped, $30,000, $40,000 in this concept idea. And I'm not sure if I, if I want to continue it. I'm like, hey, this is taking all my time.
Yeah.
Nobody's taking it serious. Nobody's following the processes. Most of these people reached out to me to help them get it going. But I'm not getting the respect, at the same respect back that I'm putting into it. And it's really frustrating.
Sounds like 2023 has been a good year for everyone to kind of reflect on, like, what do we want moving forward? You know, and it sounds like, Shelby, you have some plans. What is your biggest plan for next year?
The biggest plan for next year would be to hopefully,
change. What are you going to change the most?
My biggest change next year. Yeah. I think my years of changing were, they just happened, you know, ton of changes in both my investment business and my agent business over the past year and a half or so. And so now I'm pretty set on the plan, and I don't plan to make any changes in the next year. I'm going to focus a lot on making Five Pillars Nation the very best, most impactful, you know, amazing organization ever. And also work really hard on figuring out the marketing agency piece and how we want to build that.
Super cool. Ted, what about you?
I'm going to cut some stuff out.
Yeah.
And
yes. Less is more. Oh my God. It feels so good. It does.
I can't focus, and I'm not doing the things I love as much. So that's really frustrating. And I've taken a lot of coaching on for coaching kids. Sports coaching. Yep. So that's been a big focus of the last year, and I really enjoy doing that. But I'm kind of like, my portfolio isn't huge, but I'm kind of just looking at it, and I'm like, you know what? I really don't want to add anything to it until it's each one of my properties is in my mind finished.
Yeah.
Because every time I go to a house, I'm like, oh, that one still needs that driveway put in, or this one I need to fix this, or I need to make the backyard look prettier on this one. And there's just certain things that just weren't 100% done because budgets came into a play, and or had a tenant that was ready to move in. So I'm just kind of revisiting it. There, where this building that we're in right now, though, if these houses next door to me come open, I don't care. I'm going to buy them regardless. So if I can own this block, my 5-year goal is to tear this all down and do an apartment building right here. So that's what it is. And then I started a new partnership with a contractor, and we have a couple properties under contract right now. And that's kind of nice because I can just, I only focus on the numbers, and he focuses on all the construction. And that takes some, it takes some, a little bit of stress off.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I think I'm going, is just kind of sitting back, fixing things, and trying to make things a little bit smoother. But this podcast, I really have a lot of fun with, and we've been doing this for over 2 years now. And I think that I want to try to take this to the next level, because this has just kind of been a fun side project, but never has been a full focus. So,
if that's next year, what's the next 5 years? Shelby?
I was like, you're not asking me, right? the next 5 years, you know, Teddy, you had a really good point about the podcast. That's something that I didn't mention either. Like this past year was very much a learning experience in regard to hosting, because hosting is something that listening to podcasts, you take for granted, for sure. But there's so much more behind it, like thinking through asking the right questions in a way that brings out the most raw, real, authentic answers. And, you know, so much re-listening to shows, and man, like, why did I say like 1,000 times over 5 minutes and all that stuff? So I'm just agreeing with you that bringing my podcast, both of them, to the next level is a very near and dear goal to me in 2024. The next 5 years for me, I think, and when I talk to my co-host and when I talk to my partner in Five Pillars, like we're on 10-year tracks for what we want to do. Like I don't have any major shifts. Like I'm not interested in acquiring more rentals. I'm not interested in going back to a highly turbulent lifestyle of, you know, the wholesaling with huge marketing expenses and like huge wins and lows and contractors. And, you know, I've just experienced a lot of what I don't like. And I'm finally at a place where I'm like, this is the life I want to live. And I'm on a 10-year play on that track.
What about personally?
Personally? Well, I do. So the marketing business I'm building with my husband, we do want kids. So kids are in the next 5 years. I wouldn't say 10 years, because then I'd be 43. Yeah, and we'll see how that goes. But personally, too, it's funny. You know, ask me 3 years ago, I'd be like, every traveling experience, I'm traveling the world and we're going to all the conferences. And I'm so much in the less is more. Like, I'm being very strategic about the conferences that I want to go to over the next year. And I'm not traveling as much. I'm valuing a lot more the predictability and the structure and doing the things that make me and my body and my mind feel really energized. And so you
guys are both kind of conference junkies then at some point. You go to a lot of conferences. Totally. Do you guys have any recommendations of a conference that you think is like one you'll never miss?
So this in 2023, I went to so many conferences. Like I'm over it. Like you, like I'm done. But I would say for me being in the commercial world, best ever is one of the best real estate conferences, and it's all commercial people. So like there's not a lot of newbies there. And I think that's why I like it so much, because there's no expectation of having to teach everyone there, like how to do something, you know? Whereas I think Bigger Pockets draws a lot more newbies, and it's in the residential space, and it might be people who have $0 and they just want to figure out.
This year was different than all the previous years.
Really?
Yeah. As far as that conference goes.
So that one I would highly recommend. And then I'm part of a mastermind, and I go to they have a retreat just for members every year. And that has been the most valuable spend of my money in anything I've done. So
which one is it?
I'm part of Hunter Thompson's Raise Masters.
Oh, gotcha.
And so it's just a connection of people that are looking to raise capital, or they already have and they're sponsors. So of syndications. So they're just
cool.
My people. So I just, you know, I click with them so easy when you're in a group that's you're drawn to, for the people in it are doing kind of the same things that you're doing. And yeah, so when you get to see each other in person and meet each other, it's just
the best.
I mean, I have best friends now from that I'll have for the rest of my life. So, and like real estate's lonely, you know, we're all doing this and it's all like, you feel, I think when you grow, this is for me personally, maybe I can't speak for everyone, but you grow and then you're kind of at a different level, and then you can't really share your wins with people who don't get it. And so there's this whole like mindset shift. And I think that's why for me, I'm so adamant about like teaching my kids to have the right mindset so that they don't treat people that way. But there's certain friend groups that I'm around that I can't talk about my successes because they don't want to hear it. Right.
Really?
Yeah. And I think a lot of people experience that as they grow and move out of maybe one group that they were in and into a different level. So, I feel like I can't have to hold back a lot. And so to be in this group, I can be like, and I did this and I did this and I did this. And they're like, yes, you know, so it's just a different feeling.
You can always share your successes with me. Okay?
I know. Okay.
I know. Yeah. Me too.
So, Shelby's like, hug time.
I know. No, and I just, so conferences, like going to all the various ones, I think I've learned which ones are worth my time and which ones are not. So for me, best ever and that retreat are probably the only two I'll do next year.
Yeah.
Shelby?
I very similar. I used to go to all of them and now I'm like very strategic. And I think that when you're deciding, you not being you too, but like listeners, it's you got to think about your target audience too. Like the thing you want to get out of it. Like for instance, I'm not going to Bigger Pockets anymore because similar to you, it's like, maybe more newbies, but also like I'm not acquiring investments at the moment. So what I'm definitely doing this year, subject to change, is the Real Estate Rockstars Mastermind. It is the podcast that I host. I've been to it every year now. This is year three. It's a phenomenal mastermind. We have Pillars Retreat 2 times a year. So
where is Real Estate Rockstars event at?
It's in Austin.
Awesome.
Oh, fun.
Okay. Yeah. And then Tom Ferry Summit, I went last year. Amazing. It was really, really fun, but mostly probably just because I had a bunch of my friends there too. Yeah, exactly. And then the other one that I'm for sure going to this year is Podcast Movement. Mindy Jensen.
Yes.
Sorry?
I've heard about this one.
Yeah. Well, I asked her.
Indy's so awesome.
She's so cool. Yeah.
We both go and we can hang out in person.
Yeah, dude. Let's go.
When is that one? Do you know?
Yeah. No, I have it pulled up. Let's see. It's August 19th through the 22nd in DC.
19th, 22nd.
Yeah. Dude, you should definitely come. I've never been, but Mindy was like, I've been to a ton of the different, you know, podcast conferences, and she's like, this is the one. So I stopped researching. I'm like, Mindy said so, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
I really gotta check on that date, because my funny thing is my wife is a history teacher, and she takes a group to DC every year on the last week of school, and that's gonna be really close to the date.
So yeah, dude. It'd be like, I'm gonna check out and I'm gonna go over here for a couple of days while you guys
I'll get back on the bus later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here you go. Denlis, myself, Owen, we do BP every year, but we also set up a live cast and we interview people on site. So
that's awesome.
We get a lot of content from that, and we fill up our schedules for a lot of the schedule for the year just based on going to the Bigger Pockets conference. So that's a big superpower for us for going there. And then I think I'm going to try there's actually three national RIA meetings, and one of them is just for RIA owners.
Oh, that's cool.
And the guys that run the RIA have been giving me a hard time a few times about never coming. And they're like, well, you got the podcast, you have our name on it. you probably should come check out what this is all about. And I was like, yeah, if I need to do this.
Well, those would be the people that can tell you what to do with the rest of your chapters.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah. Because I'm on the verge of just honestly shutting it down on the first year. Right now, because I'm like, there's a lot of money going in that,
and your time.
Yeah,
it's just frustrating. I'm not gonna lie, it's just frustrating. Like you put it all out there, and like here's the framework. You wanted to have a meetup group. Here's the framework,
right?
But then you don't do it.
Yeah, I mean, in my course of business over the 17 years, the biggest thing I've found in people is that you can want something for somebody else more than they'll ever want it for themselves. And you just can't force that on them. Like, it's just never going to be in their bones to do what you want them to do or what you see the potential for them to do. And you know they can grow and be a better person, like not a better person, but more tap into their potential. Yeah. And they don't even want that for themselves.
Sometimes I feel, sorry, this is the ghost coming in. Sometimes I feel it's like it's something to do with timing, where you want to grow you always had this on your mind. You wanted to grow the RIA to this nation, to this statewide thing. And then the timing of these people coming to you seeming so excited about doing it. And it's like you buy into it because in the moment, it just happened, like everything lined up exactly how it is, but you never got the time to really sit down and be like, should I really just jump all in because they came so excited, or should I take two steps back and look at this from a logical perspective where I'm like, okay, am I going to sacrifice my peace because these people potentially could be how they are right now, you know?
Wisdom.
I put some of this back on me though, in the same aspect, because when these people approached me, they're like excited and ready to go. And I'm like, hey, we need to put, I appreciate you doing this. And so-and-so and so-and-so reached out to me, and I have the lawyers drawing up these papers, and I'm creating the framework here. I'm getting the VA team trained up and going, and I'm building this all custom, you know, $10,000 website that's got video work and all this stuff in here. And that doesn't happen overnight. And so then we got all up and running, and it took months, you know, and then everybody's like, oh yeah.
So the excitement fizzled out.
Yeah. And I should have said, just go start your meetup group and just get it up on the page, and here's the basics, and then go.
Do you you wanted to control it and have it be perfect?
Yeah.
Instead of just letting it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I figured if they didn't have, because when I started mine, I had all that ready to go, and I plopped it, and it was a piece. It was ready. I looked at it in my own perspective, but hindsight, it probably wasn't the best way to go. I should have just took their energy and then used their energy to push them on.
Have you had conversations with the individuals who have approached you? Like, have you really had deep conversations with them about it?
One person's like, yeah, my real estate investing has just blown up and it's taken my priority. Another person was like, well, I just feel bad using your graphic designers because of the money. I'm like, well, I'm paying them regardless. They're on salary. And
use it, please.
Then other people couldn't figure out how to run, just doesn't know Facebook and Facebook groups and, doesn't know social media. And that wasn't, the downturn. Everybody's got a reason.
I think the reason why I was asking that question, I'm sorry to take away from your interview, Shelby, but I just...
Oh my God, don't, this is adding. This is great.
But the reason why I'm asking that question is because I'm just wondering how is it we could rekindle that fire that they once had?
Yeah, I don't know if I want it rekindled right now.
No?
But, dude, you've already decided. You've totally decided already.
Yeah.
I'm just burned out, and I'm just seeing the paychecks going out for the VAs, and I can repurpose a lot of these efforts into my own business. I can repurpose that website and have a badass website for Rhea Radio instead of just having a player. And when you go to our website channel, and then those VAs, I could turn them over and have them work on more important stuff on social media and promoting the things that I actually want to promote.
Yeah, well, sniper shot versus scatter shot. That's what you're thinking about, right?
We're talking Shelby talk now.
Hey.
So, Shelby, how extensive is your gun collection?
Oh my God, dude, it's not. So in the Army, I was HR, so I was like a fucking paper pusher in the Army. My husband, though, was a legitimate sniper, so we do have guns in the house.
That's gotta be some great stories in that house.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
So, Shelby, we have a section of our podcast that we famously call Failing Forward. She's like, do I really gotta sing this? I go, yes, you do.
This week's Failing Forward is brought to you by JM Real Estate Capital.
Hi, it's Rob, JM Real Estate Capital. We're the money guys that you need to know for all your real estate investments. Talk to us. We can do what your local bank can't or won't do. 844-WE-CLOSE or go online, jmrecapital.com. That's jmrecapital.com. JM Real Estate Capital, smart solutions for the real estate investor.
I thought she was going to sing with a more like soprano voice, but I mean, I'll take that.
Sorry.
So in this section, Shelby, this is a fail that you had in life, business, personal, and something came out of it, a learning lesson. Do you have an example for us today?
Yeah, I feel like there's so many, so many failures. In thinking about this, though, I would say that my experiences in 2022, when I got really into wholesaling and flipping, really more of the flipping piece, because when I had done flipping in Fayetteville, North Carolina, I had a really good contractor and I was completely spoiled. I was like, flipping's easy. I don't know what all these people in Bigger Pockets are saying about renovations being a nightmare. And then I moved to Charlotte and I did a bunch of flips in Fayetteville and Burrs. And I moved to Charlotte and I was like, oh, I'm going to flip. This is, I know how to do this. And it was a really, really good eye-opening learning experience for me about all of the struggles that you hear online about, finding honest, talented humans who are going to show up and do what they say they're going to do when they're going to do it. All of it came true. And it was a really, really cool, terrible learning experience for me. I think that had I not gone through those struggles, I would be very naive in my reflection on renovating projects throughout my investing experiences.
What kind of nightmares did you run across when you were doing that?
Oh my gosh. Like just people, stealing your money,
contractors.
So awful. Or saying that they've done work and then you go and you see it and you're like, there's literally a hole from the inside of the house through the outside. I could see outside and you're telling me that this is done. And that, so just like every little thing that you could possibly imagine, has happened in regard to renovating. It's just horrible.
Are you laughing because you're thinking about Megan Ahern?
Yeah.
Do you know Megan Ahern?
Oh yeah, I do. Yeah.
Yeah. So Megan used to live in town here before she moved over with Brandon over there. But long story, she's like her very first flip that she ever did in California.
No, it wasn't New Mexico.
No, New Mexico. Yep. She was living in California and she did a New Mexico flip.
Yeah.
And the contractor would paint a wall, take a picture of one wall, but didn't do another wall, and then would patch one wall. So she kept on making payments, like, "Oh, we're to the drywall, we're to the painting stage."
Oh my gosh!
So when her and her dad showed up, she's like, "What was that phrase?" She like, took her cell phone. She's like, "Here's my first flip," and she's like taking selfies and posting them. And her dad's like, "What the hell is going on here?" And she's like, "Like one side of the house was painted."
Oh,
one room in the house is painted.
Yeah. It sounds like more work than to just do your job. Like, like to just paint the whole thing. Sounds easier.
And he kept on like taking pictures, like doing that, the one part of work.
Yeah.
And she was like super excited seeing it. Like, look at the progress.
Crushing.
I feel you on the contractors though, because I had a project that finished this year, I should say. And it was supposed to have been like a 90-day, $30,000 project. And without like getting into the weeds, my contractor, he had some issues going on in family and then had a stalker. And he stopped showing up to work. And then money, you know, then money started going out and out. Long story short, I ended up having to let him go on the 16th, way too long, 16th month into the project.
Oh my gosh.
And so this project ended up well over $110,000. Like, he didn't call back any of the inspectors to reinspect the permits that we got. And then the inspectors were, you know, obviously upset, which when I put tenants in it, I thought the inspections were all signed off. I was still condemned.
Oh my gosh.
To put it there. And here, and it was, and the local Air Force base rented it out for construction workers. And so, yeah, the Air Force base is renting the house at like $2,200 bucks a month. And it was technically condemned. I mean, it was a beautiful house. I mean, it was gorgeous, but legally condemned. And then here I am, like, luckily that all the trucks were gone all the day when I had to bring the inspectors back in to like inspect it. So they didn't know that people were living there. But when you think about it though, just because of that contractor, I missed out on the 3% rates and I ended up with a like a 6% or 7% on it, whatever it was. You know, I didn't get rent for, you know, realistically a year. I couldn't, because the way that we did it, I had to cash flow the whole entire rehab, you know, 100 something thousand, but also I couldn't count the hard money that I was stuck in because it was supposed to be 90 days. So I paid hard money for 18 months.
Oh my God. Gosh. So I had a really bad experience with a property manager that's shameful to admit. And so I guess my question to both of you is like, how do you know to listen to your intuition that like this person is not gonna do right by you? Like, do you just say the first red flag, like, you're gone, I'm done? Like, is that how it has to be? Or like, what do you think the solution is for this?
I think so much of it just comes from experience. Like, in the beginning, I don't think you can know, even if your gut is telling you you're wrong, you kind of have to live through and be like, oh, my gut now, this is what it means, or this red flag. And I don't think all red flags are created equal either. So to give a very like political answer, it's like, it depends.
I tell you what, in my situation though, that guy did all my projects. He renovated this building and everything I did to that point, he was the exclusive contractor. So
you never had issues before.
No, and he knew my family for 20 years. He just ended up with some issues with, you know, with some family stuff, and so I know he feels really bad about it, how it all went down, but it was just a bad situation in the end.
What did you do, Shelby, when you were working with new people and they just weren't meeting your expectations?
We would fire them.
Yeah. Well, it's not acceptable.
Right. Exactly. But a lot of times it would drag on way too long because you're hopeful too, and you don't want to start over.
Well, When you know, and people, they'll stick by their
especially
word.
When you have like a $20,000 payment just went to them or something like that.
You're
like,
yeah. Oh, exactly. It's horrible. So it's not clean cut, but like eventually you drag yourself through the stress and the anxiety and the double, you know, the thinking about it, overthinking. And then you finally like, you know what? I can't do it anymore. Onward, you know?
Yeah. And is that like with this failing forward, do you feel like that was a key factor in not wanting to do more flips?
Totally.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Unless you can bring your guy that you had before and make him move. And
even then, I just, it's just not something that I'm interested in anymore. Yeah. Like when I was first getting started, I just really wanted to do everything and as quickly as possible. And I had like this giant chip on my shoulder. And now I just value lifestyle and, peace of mind a lot more than I used to. And it's also depending on where you are financially too. Like, you know, in the beginning, I didn't have any type of passive income I felt like my back was against the wall. There's that scrappy hunger. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that I am where I want to be financially. Like, you know, I don't have like fuck you money and stuff like that. But, I'm just also not at a point where I'm like that is worth it to me. Yeah. It's just not worth it to me anymore. You know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how do you handle it, Andrea? I mean, how many units are you renovating right now? 100 and something?
Zero? No. It's been a growing experience for me with going from residential to, you know, commercial. And our first conversion was 32 units. And we had issues with our contractor the first time. And how we solved it was Axel went and my husband, and he went and put the kitchens in. And, you know, until we found a solution, you know? So, and after we did that one, he's like, I can't do this again. You know, like I can't leave home for a week out of the month to go be a contractor on another project. And then we have this one come up and I was like, we're going to do it again, but 10 times as big as that one. So
my husband did that too. He did manual labor himself, and his mom, who has been like a contractor for years in South Dakota, literally came in and they like did the same thing. So
yeah. And I think that's our challenge, is to grow out of that. So I still want to like just go get stuff done and like just go do it. And well, we just had our Airbnb like a month ago on our property, on our apartment complex. It's the first building we're working on. And it was ready to like, it was close to having the CO, like the floor is laid, but it's white boxed. So we just needed to go in and decorate it and do all the things for. And so our team, you know, the three of us went down, we took our three kids with us as well. And, we set it up, like we did all the work, and it was because we were like, let's just get this done and like get it on online. And I still struggle with not doing that. I have to grow and find people to do things for me. And with the project, I can't do it. I mean, it's like, I'm not licensed, right? So I can't like just go and build the kitchens, but it is hard. So it forced me to trust other people and like have them do the work for me when I really want to do it myself.
I guess I've set up all my Airbnbs myself for the most part. I've had help. Dennis helped me move stuff. But in regards to working on any of my investment properties, I've never gone in there and done any work besides landscaping and handling the staging of it. Now, my personal house, I'm the head maintenance guy in my own personal house.
Yeah.
And that's fine because I hate paying people to come to my own house.
Yeah, on residential stuff, I've never hired a contractor.
But I've never worked on any of my flips or rentals.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to do it. I got to grow into that, you know?
Well, Shelby, we've been loving the content you put out there. I love the fact that you have so much going on. I feel like I relate with you in a lot of different ways. And that was the reason I started following you when I first listened to you. So I hope that the people listening to this get the same feeling that I got when I first heard your interview. But before we conclude today, we do have a section that we famously call the AT with Andrea and Ted.
Famously.
The A-team. Yeah. In this section, we have a handful of questions that we like to ask you that we do ask every guest. And I know that we're going to catch you because I did not send these questions to you. But the first question, is going to be by Andrea.
Yeah. So what would the title of your first book be if you wrote a book?
Yeah. So I hate you guys for not sending this in advance. I love to come up with like an articulate, well thought through answer.
We don't like that. We're never articulate here. You know that one was here.
The first thing that came to mind was just The Shelby Show. Originally it was going to be like The Shit Show, but we're going to do The Shelby Show. And what it would be about is like finding your fire, I guess. And because there's been a lot of times in my life, like I was incredibly intense about gymnastics. And then I was really intense about a lot of things in the military. And then I was really intense about real estate. And it's one of those things where it's not always that way. There's a change, but there's like this discovery period in between where you have to take the time to reflect and test new things and then realize how they make you feel before you move forward. So I think it would be a part of that journey about like finding the next fire in your life.
Ooh, I love that. I'd read it. Get it ready.
Thanks, girl.
Okay, so this is going to be a good question for you. You have two amazing podcasts. You can interview anybody in the world today that's alive. Who's it going to be, and what question are you going to ask them?
Oh, yes. Okay. So this is, I think, have you guys read this book? It's called The Almanac of Naval Ravikant.
No.
Oh, my God. It is so good. I read it 2 times in a row. I listened to it the first time, and then I read it the second time. And this dude is, he's not online, not much, at least. And this book is incredible, and I would love to pick his brain. Although I hate when people say that about the way that he thinks about life and wealth, and also meditation. Fascinating to me. So I would like to just ask him. I don't have a specific question. I just want to hang out with this dude. Okay.
Yeah. Get an hour with him, right?
Yeah.
So have you tried reaching out to him?
I haven't. Maybe I will. Dude, you guys are like, have you done the shred method? No. I promise I'm a doer. Like
I make it a point to get on my Instagram, you know, every about quarter. And I even hit up the people that I know don't even check their Instagram, but I'm like, hey, I'd love to get you on the podcast. Tony Robbins' assistant just hit me up this week. So, sorry, he doesn't get on podcasts.
That's sick.
That's, I was like, oh, yeah, try, right? I'm sure this guy would be all over you.
Yeah, not the podcasts are interviewing agents. But that's you're totally right. I will just reach out to him and be like, yo, dude, I really like your book. Let's be friends. I'll make you a friendship bracelet. It'll be great.
There's got to be some content, though, that you could pull from him that would help the people that are in real estate.
That's true.
Meditation, it helps you.
Yeah. We were talking about Alex Hormozi earlier, and one of his things is provide an immense amount of value to somebody with no expectation. So, like, maybe do something for him and send him a friendship bracelet and just reach out that way and tell him how much you appreciated his book, and then he'd want to talk to you.
Perfect. Yeah, will do. And I'll report back.
That's Alex's advice.
Or just cut the segment out of the podcast and then just send them that video.
Send it to him, yeah.
Okay, Andrew's got a really, really deep question.
It's time to get deep. Who would you choose to deliver your eulogy? And then what legacy would you like to leave behind?
Yeah, eulogy. So I think my husband would be so torn up, obviously. There's no way he could do it. My best friend, Katie... this isn't some like famous person doing my eulogy. Like, I think that she would do a really good job. She's very eloquent. She's very thoughtful. She knows me so well, and that's who I would want to do that. And what I would want to leave behind is inspiration for people to just attack whatever it is that they want in their lives.
That's awesome. You've already inspired me today. So,
oh, girl.
Legacy.
Likewise.
Down the path. Right.
So, just so you guys know, when my usually happens, it's going to be a fun one. So I'm just going to let my buddies just go up there and just
that's so fun.
Shoot the breeze and talk about the fun stories.
Shotgun a beer.
Yeah. There we go.
I'll bring a beer bomb.
Nice.
We had a beer bong in college. We have a story about that if you ever want to hear about it.
Oh, yeah. I got one for you, too.
It was named Monty Python. what mentor in your life has had the biggest impact to you, and how they influenced your career or personal growth?
So by far, this was when I was a second lieutenant in the Army. This was a major. Her name was Major Joshua, and she was at brigade when I was at battalion, and was also a battalion S1, which HR, human resources. And she picked me based on performance and assessment and all that stuff to come and shadow her for the next essentially 2 years. And I, to this day, have never experienced the level of like mentorship, development, how much she poured into me and trained me has set me up so much in my personal life, but also in everything I do in business. Like so much of my organization and the way that I think through the different perspectives and the second, third order effects of every action, it's so much have came from her, and I'm super, super grateful.
Do you think there's ever a time, because I have a similar mentor, but like, I don't know if I could ever be that person for somebody else. Do you feel like there's ever a time that you could be that, or have you been that for somebody?
I haven't done it for 2 years in the way that she with me side by side every single day for so long. But I have, I love the mentorship space for the right mentee. The one who's going to take action and go forth, do great things, then report back and think critically. And so I have done that in some ways, and I hope to continue doing it throughout the rest of my life.
Do you feel that everybody should experience being in the military, or do you think it's just only for a select few?
I think it'd be really good for everyone to experience it. Yes. It's, yeah, it really did shape me in a lot of ways. And I'm not going to say that my time in the military was amazing. If it was amazing, I probably wouldn't have gotten out. But I did grow so much from it, and it really just forces you into situations where you sink or swim. And so I think it would be helpful. I've thought about that before, where it's like, you know, graduate high school, everyone has to serve 2 years. There's countries who do that. I'm not sure if I really feel like that is the right solution, but in a lot of ways, I think the concept makes sense.
I think it does too. And then, you know, you see in these wars going on right now, you know, you got the Israel war and you got the Ukraine war, and there's so many people just packed up and said, hey, it's my duty to go back and fight, you know, and, you know, people all the way up to the age of what, 50 and 60 are fighting in some of those. And it's just amazing, you know, to see that, but a lot of those guys served, and that's just the way that it is with their, in their countries, right? And it was just today I was taking my kids to school, and my son was asking me about military and you know, my thoughts on it. And you know, I'm very pro when it comes to that. And I you know, it's that scary aspect. It's like, yeah, it's scary to put your kid in harm's way, but I also like, how much could you grow from doing that? Because two of my closest buddies. One just retired after 23 years from the Marines last year, and the other one, he's still active. He's 24 years in. He's a pilot, and it's completely changed their lives. And who I hate to see the pieheads they'd still be today if they didn't jump in. But well, with that, Dennis has a question here.
Hey Shelby, so when you were younger, what do you want it to be when you grew up?
When I was younger, I wanted to be in the Olympics as a gymnast, and then be in Cirque du Soleil after that.
Explains a lot, because you post a lot of awesome fitness stuff.
Yeah, I really love it, the fitness stuff, and then CrossFit, and just staying flexible and strong and being able to move your body. I think it just makes me feel so good. I love it.
My wife has never worked out until 2 years ago, and she had got sick of so many people making comments about her about being so small.
Yeah.
And so I think she never weighed over 95 pounds until she had kids. And then she found the gym 2 years ago, and she's like, well, you go, I'm going to go. And now she's like the 125, and she's completely ripped out. And I'm like, I go almost every day, and my body looks nothing like yours. So
that's awesome. That's badass.
It's game changing. Kind of intimidated sometimes. I'm like, she's like, later, I'm like, are you flexing right now? It's like, no. I'm like, I like it.
It'll be fine.
You know how I am with my wife. Yeah. We all hang out.
So how can the listeners of Rhea Radio support you?
Yeah.
And what is the best way for them to reach out to you?
Two things of support. The first is if you want to go to Apple and look up The Agent Goldmine and give it a listen. And if you like it, give it 5 stars. That would be amazing. But probably the more
we only take 5 stars, right? Only 5 stars.
Well, let's, if it's worthy of 1 star, if it's worthy of 1 star, I mean, just DM me that.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the other one is I really want to improve this kind of with the podcasting and with social media in general and really the online brand. So like if you're good at websites or you're good with social media and stuff like that, I want feedback on, you know, areas for improvement because I want to cut the learning curve. I really want to get as good as possible, as quickly as possible on all of those aspects. So if you could give any feedback, I would love it. I promise I have thick skin. Hit me. And you can find me at the best place is just go to The Shelby Show on Instagram. And then you can find me there. DM me, whatever.
Cool.
Oh, and Five Pillars Nation. Go to Five Pillars Nation if you're an agent. Okay, that's it.
And if they want to start their own little meetup, though, they can just reach out to you and you'll send the packet over, right?
Yes. Or you can go to pintsandproperties.com.
Okay.
Pints here we go. And properties. There's so many. Or just go to The Shelby Show. It's fine. One place. I'll direct you.
you just need a link tree.
Well, I have one in my, yeah.
Put them all on there.
Yeah.
Well, Shelby, thank you so much for taking the time to come on with us today. You totally impressed. It's exactly what I expected. And it was nice just to kind of shoot the breeze with you and get to know you better in this type of format. Because I feel like I listened probably about 5 hours of your podcast in the last couple of days. And I feel like it's just always, I'm not talking about your podcast, but when you've been interviewed, it's just really kind of Q&A. So it's just nice.
It's been fun to hang.
Sit down here with you. So
thanks
I appreciate
for
it.
All the,
and getting to know you guys. You guys are awesome.